I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Israel is ready for an invasion of Rafah despite U.S. opposition to the attack. Yesterday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it will happen. There is a date.
The Biden administration has proposed another ceasefire in exchange for hostages, while Netanyahu continues to insist he won't settle for anything less than total victory. Chris Mitchell reports from Jerusalem.
On Monday, Netanyahu announced Israel is not finished with Hamas in Gaza.
We're working all the time to achieve our goals, primarily the release of our hostages and achieving a complete victory over Hamas. This victory requires entry into Rafah and the elimination of the terrorist battalions there. It will happen. There's a date.
There is a date. What is the date? Well, obviously, that is not something Netanyahu's going to disclose at this point. But this is in the face of the Biden administration basically trying to turn them away from, don't go into Rafah until you evacuate all the Palestinian innocent people. Sounds like a great plan. How would you achieve it? First of all, you've got to get Hamas to agree we're going to let our human shields go. They're not going to do that. So the best we're going to be able to do is get 40, maybe 50 hostages. And it's not just for the ceasefire that's being proposed, but Israel is going to release prisoners, jihadists they're holding in their cells. They're going to release some of them back to Hamas. A never-ending circle of violence at this rate. And the only way to put an end to it is to destroy Hamas and all the Iranian proxy terrorist groups throughout everywhere. I started to say just the Middle East, but right now we've got them in our own backyard. And I'm afraid that at some point we're going to find out just how many are here and what they're planning. God help us. Thanks for joining us. This is hour number one of Larry Connors USA. 2 hours back-to-back for you, Monday through Friday, right here. And when we're on the air, I'll remind you we are streaming video, so you can actually watch, and we appreciate you watching. You can see it at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook or Twitter. If you miss anything, video or audio, or you want to go back and listen to it again, or more importantly, you want to share with someone else, which I always encourage you to do, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Find it, listen, watch, send it on to someone else. We need everyone on deck as we approach November. These issues are going to continue to escalate politically and on the war front. I know some are saying, you know, I can't take it anymore. I can't deal with it. Do not hide your head in the sand. You're not going to accomplish anything except your butt will be exposed. Period. This Rafah situation. Netanyahu is pointing out yesterday there are at least 4 battalions they know are still in Rafah. That's the Gaza border with Egypt. But the Biden administration is trying to tell them how to fight the war. This administration, the one that abandoned Afghanistan in the middle of the night, left all of our military and equipment there and left Americans in jeopardy and ended up getting some of our American soldiers killed because of the debacle. And on top of that, how many Americans we left behind, we have still not heard, have we? We have not heard how many Afghan citizens that worked with our U.S., troops for 20 years. We have not heard how many of them might still have been left behind and are now dead. You're never going to get that information. They just want to look away. This is Joe Biden's Hillary Benghazi situation. Only this is much bigger. And now he thinks we can tell Israel how to fight a war? My God, man, you need to take lessons from Israel, and especially in protecting your borders, which we're still not doing. So let's hear the U.S. proposal. Now, that report you listened to in the beginning was from CBN News, and here's how it's laid out for the current U.S. proposal.
After months of on and off negotiations, the U.S. has reportedly proposed a new ceasefire deal. It would see a six-week halt in the fighting and exchange 40 hostages for 900 Palestinians imprisoned in Israel. Hamas is expected to respond to this latest proposal by Tuesday night. If they agree, the truce could begin as soon as Wednesday. The Biden administration has warned it could change its policy towards Israel if it goes forward with an invasion of Rafah. There are also signs it would like to see Netanyahu replaced as leader. Monday, the U.S. Secretary of State held high-level talks with the leader of Netanyahu's opposition, who might be more pliable to White House demands.
A hostage deal is doable. It is a difficult deal. This is a deal we might not like, but it's doable, and therefore it needs to be made.
That is one of Netanyahu's political opponents. So now the Biden administration is trying to mess with Israeli politics. They're going to tell their military how to fight. They're going to say, we want a six-week ceasefire deal. We want more aid trucks going in. We want you to withhold your fire. We want you to send prisoners you're holding back to Hamas and get Netanyahu out. Does that make any sense to you if another country was telling us to do that? They're going to tell us, I would agree. I'm afraid I would agree. You guys need to get rid of Biden. Yes, I agree. And they continue to make a great deal. And again, this is a loss of life, and I don't take that lightly. But the accidental hit the other day that hit some World KitchenAid workers, killing some of those who were trying to deliver food and supplies. Israel has admitted, we did it. We made a mistake. Some of the officers involved are paying for it. But that is one incident. And yet that is the incident that the Biden administration, I keep hearing from the so-called state-controlled media, Biden is angry and furious that innocent people got killed. It's been happening every day since October 7th. When Israel went in, or rather when Hamas went into Israel and started slaughtering innocents. And we got kind of a tepid response at that point from this administration. Then they thought, maybe we should get more involved, and then they started backing away. They want to point to that mistake by Israel as the reason everything should come to a halt. I think we've got plenty of issues on the Biden watch when it comes to military affairs that says we have been wrong. But they are not going to pay attention to that. So what do Israeli citizens think of the Biden administration trying to tell Israel how to fight its battles and under what conditions, or we might begin to change our view on what you already indicated where you stand? And in fact, when you're talking to political opposition to Netanyahu, you are making it clear you're trying to undermine him and the state of Israel.
Instead of telling the international community to place pressure on Hamas to release the hostages, they're placing pressure on Netanyahu and our government. We didn't start the war, they did. Okay? They murdered 1,200 of our people.
The mood in general is a grim determination to win the war.
Military analyst and IDF Reserve Major Elliot Chodov says most Israelis are firmly behind achieving victory over Hamas.
There's a very loud counter movement, and I emphasize loud because the overwhelming majority who are not speaking are the bulk of the population, the reservists and their families.
Chodov says it's important to pray for Israel now.
Pray for Israel's well-being, pray for Israel's safety, and pray for victory, because ultimately that's where the well-being is going to come from.
Yeah, there's not going to be partial victory. It has to be complete victory. You don't have victory until it is complete. So Netanyahu is stating the other day that we're going to continue to go after Hamas inside Rafah. We're going to back off, but we're not giving up at this point. And as he was making those statements, he had Israeli negotiators in Cairo, Egypt, trying to strike a deal with Hamas via Egypt and Qatari and American mediators, trying to see if some of the remaining 100, and they have a count here, 133 Israeli hostages would be released, although some they know are dead. Are they going to give us bodies? Well, I know the families would like that. And they say 133 Israeli hostages. I don't know if they're all Israeli or maybe dual passport, but that's what they're stating. But again, as a statement released by Netanyahu, today I received a detailed report on the talks in Cairo. We're working constantly to attain our objectives. First and foremost, the release of all of our hostages and the achieving of total victory over Hamas. The victory requires entering Rafah and eliminating the terrorist battalions there. This will happen. There is a date. I don't expect and I don't want him to back down. But the Biden administration, can't we just play nice? Are you serious? Yeah, unfortunately they are. Biden, of course, is having a problem on that front. He's also having major issues pulling young voters 30 and under. But he's got another attempt. It's not one he hasn't tried before. In this case, hand out money.
Early in my term, I announced a major plan to provide more than 40 million working and middle-class Americans student debt relief. Tens of millions. Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. Today, I'm proud to announce five major actions to continue to relieve student debt for more than 30 million Americans.
30 million Americans going to get some of their debt, their student loan debt, forgiven. And even though Biden said the Supreme Court stopped us, his attitude is, I don't care what the Supreme Court said. Now, if you're on the right, conservative, even independent, and you don't like something the Supreme Court said or did, well, the point is, that's the ruling of the Supreme Court. You can appeal. But his attitude is, in your face, I'm the president. That is his attitude. And why? This is not just pandering for votes. This is clear out buying of votes. MSNBC lays out more.
All told, up to 30 million or so Americans could be impacted in all of the student debt relief. Most of it will target accrued interest, and some of those that will be eligible will be people who have been paying their loans for more than 20 years for undergraduate loans, 25 years for graduate loans. Now, the administration is trying to use a different legal justification here to be able to get this through, but it's expected also to get legal challenges. Some Republicans do think that this is a bailout for people that went to college and racked up this debt. But the administration here is trying to fulfill a campaign promise as it tries to court younger voters ahead of the November elections. This forgiveness is set to be, is still being finalized, but it's set to be implemented in the fall.
In the fall. But I wouldn't hold your breath. But in the fall, you know, my gosh, the fall, what do you say that considers? Does that begin maybe September, October, 8 weeks before the election? Oh, perfect timing. And you want to tell me you're not trying to buy votes? The hell you aren't. Florida, former Florida GOP Congressman Jolly says, you sound smart.
I certainly think it could move the needle, and it needs to. I mean, Joe Biden and several traditionally Democratic performing groups, his numbers seem to be soft right now. I'm not sure, though, that it moves the needle simply because it is a subsidy or forgiveness or a direct benefit, as much as it makes the president relatable to young people's concerns, right? Young people are looking at Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and they see two people that perhaps they think just simply don't understand their current challenges. This directly impacts them and says, on behalf of the president, yes, I do understand your challenges. But I think where the other places it really helps, though, Yasmin, is a lot of these people who would be eligible for this forgiveness are now adults with kids in college, and they are still paying their college loans. I mean, think about that, a 20 to 25-year burden, a 30-year burden for a 45-year-old person who's still working to pay off their college debt while they now have kids entering college taking on their own debt. This says for Joe Biden, listen, I feel your pain. I know how badly this has burdened you, and I'm trying to help you.
Oh, that's Bill Clinton all over again. I feel your pain. If you're 25 and 30 years old and still carrying your college debt, I feel your pain. But if you've got children that are going to college and accumulating college debt, you need to recalculating. According to a report in The Hill last week, the White House has touted this president as canceling more student loans than any other administration in history. Well, whoop-a-doo. Is that something to praise? Well, they're doing it. And here comes Rachel Madcow of MSNBC saying, yes, this is good.
The substance of this is straightforward, right? Help people who are drowning under big student loan payments. Our country wants people to go to college, so our country should reduce the disincentive to go to college by making it less economically disastrous to do so. People who are having trouble with their student loans, relieve that economic pain, make it easier on them. The substance of it is straightforward. The politics of it is straightforward, too, right? Here's the president going to a critical swing state, unveiling a program that he hopes will be particularly popular with young people. Young people, of course, particularly crucial for his bid for re-election. So the substance is straightforward and important. The politics are straightforward and important for President Biden.
And Rachel Madcow, you might have spoken too much out loud. You're right. You nailed it. It's all a buy campaign. Now, remember, as you heard, Biden had presented this proposal in Wisconsin, which is considered a major swing state. But another state that is vital is Michigan. And coming up in the next hour, Michigan is vital, and Biden there faces pro-Hamas supporters chanting, "Death to America." How can he walk that tightrope? Why should he walk that tightrope? Also coming up later in this hour, Morning Joe Scarborough. Now, here's a wise man. I hope you know that was tongue-in-cheek. Joe Scarborough says, maybe we're not such a divided nation. Maybe we're not. Now, I'm going to give him some credit because he's pushing that maybe we should find more things in common and work together to that extent. That I agree with. I basically preach that issue every day on this program. You don't always have to find the dividing issue. Find things that unite us. And let's start with, are you a patriot? If you're a patriot, that's a great starting point. We can have different opinion on political candidates, Trump, whatever. But are you a patriot? And there we start making some, hopefully, some headway. But Joe Scarborough says maybe we're not such a divided nation. Why? Well, we'll find out. Plus, a new job for VP Harris. We're going to put her in charge of making sure airline travelers keep their shoes on. You got to hear that. On a more important issue regarding flight safety, illegal group is claiming we have chaos in the skies. It's going to get worse. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy is stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. We have talked about it numerous times now, and just yesterday, another incident involving a Boeing plane, a Southwest flight, where a cowling began to come loose from an engine. In fact, the plane had to return as a part of the plane dropped to the runway. That was one of the latest. Of course, you had the flight that was basically had a what they call a door plug in place. No door there, but it was plugging up that facility and just suddenly blew out. Thank goodness it blew out below 10,000 feet before the plane reached a high pressurization altitude. As it were, no one was sucked out of the plane. A shirt ripped off of one kid. And you know what they found? Four bolts were missing. Now, how in the hell did the plane ever get approved by the Boeing inspectors followed by the FAA inspectors if they're doing their J-O-B? That brings us to our guest. He is with a legal firm, the Mountain States Legal Foundation, suing the federal government for discriminatory hiring practices in Department of Transportation and the FAA, and maybe suggesting DEI is at the bottom of some of this, but I will let him explain on his own. William Trakeman, glad to have you with us, sir.
Thanks so much. Greetings from Colorado.
And you were in Colorado, is that right?
That's right. I work for Mountain States Legal Foundation. So we're a Denver-based 501c3 conservative legal foundation that sues the federal government, the Biden administration, and state governments around the country.
Yeah, now you had also served as a DOE attorney as the Office of Civil Rights under Trump administration. That's apart from what you were describing. Is that correct?
That's right. So in the Trump administration, not the Biden administration, I worked in Washington, D.C. in the swamp and worked as Deputy Assistant Secretary in the Civil Rights Office at the Department of Education. So in the belly of the beast, went through the lion's den for 3 years, and I'm glad to be on the other side of that now.
Baptism by fire, as it were, right?
That's right. You know, my plan was to take the job and then change the locks at the end of the administration, but they wouldn't let me do that.
You came out not as bright-eyed as you went in, I take it.
You never want to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, that's exactly true. That I've always agreed with. Now, the New York Post is reporting the other day is one of the other recent events, and that is, a passenger on board catching a United pilot on camera repairing a plane window before takeoff. What's the background on that story? Really repairing the plane window or just checking it? Pilots would do a walk around and check things.
Well, it's obvious that they're not sending their best, right, when it comes to these planes and all the defects that are going on around the country. You know, my organization, Mountain States Legal Foundation, is suing the FAA over racially discriminatory hiring practices. But it's clear there's an epidemic across the aviation industry, not just at the FAA, but in Boeing and throughout the airlines. They're focused too much on race, too much on sex, and trying to meet their, you know, their numbers.
As an attorney, sir, I am going to correct you. You meant too much on sex? Are they doing that? Or you meant too much on gender?
I try not to use the word gender for fear of getting into a gender.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you're the legal mind. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, so, you know, these airlines, they want more of their employees to be women. They want more racial minorities. And so that's affecting their decision-making on the inside. And then anytime you make decisions not based purely on merit, not based on skill and talent, you're going to run into issues. So whether or not these issues specifically are about DEI or not, it's the pattern that we're seeing that's eventually going to create uncertainty and danger for America.
And I also took note that there's a big concern on your end also, an Inspector General report that 77% of American airports are experiencing staffing shortages in control centers.
Yeah, it's an admission against interest, right? You know, you never know how much to trust the government, especially when the folks in the FAA and the folks in the airlines and the manufacturer of airplanes are in bed with one another. But that's certainly a concerning number. Understaffed airports are going to create significant danger for Americans. Now, there's plenty of slack, I guess, if you could say, in the system, because we haven't had a crash in a while. We haven't had a lethal injury in a few years. Yeah, thank God, you know, knock on wood. But we're courting danger here, and we're using that slack in a way that we ought not. You know, when I step on a plane, I don't want to be relying on the fact that if something goes wrong, we'll probably be okay. I don't want anything to go wrong in the first place.
I'm a pilot. I have a commercial multi-engine rating and instrument rating. And I have found very early in my flight curve, and I say I have a license compared to someone who flies a 747 or a jet pilot. They're the pilot. I just happen to have a license. Like I have a driver's license, but I'm not competing at the Grand Prix. But the point being that it became evident to me in the beginning what radar control operators are there. This is not a dismissing of all of them, but many of them know nothing about the plane capabilities. They're not pilots themselves. So when they start directing planes to do certain things, they don't even know the capability of the plane to meet the requirement that they're trying to put on them. And as a pilot in command, you can refuse it, but still, if they don't have a real base understanding of something of that nature, and now we're hiring people simply because of gender or base?
Yeah. I mean, they say diversity makes us all stronger, but doesn't talent and knowledge make us all stronger, even more so? The idea that you would select someone for a job because of the color of their skin or what's underneath their pants is offensive to the Constitution and also creates dangers, inherent dangers in the system because, I mean, the example that you're pointing out is that people cared more about some other factor than the experience and qualifications that they ought to be caring about. And so whether or not something actually came to pass and people actually died, the risk increased. And again, when we step onto airplanes, we're not just saying, well, the risk is high, but probably I won't die. We're saying we want comfort. We want peace of mind that we'll be able to get from one place to the other without courting that danger. And that's not happening right now, obviously.
You're listening to William Trackman, a lawyer with the Mountain States Legal, filing a case against the FAA and Department of Transportation. You know, to that extent, I know some charter pilots, and they talk about, you know, we'll go through a really rough storm, and they're private charter. They're high-end clients they're taking. They get them around. They get them safely down. And when they go to get off, they say, you know, the coffee was cold. I got you here safely. You complain about the coffee. But safety should be first and foremost.
Yeah, you're flying in a metal box through the sky. You know, our forefathers could only have imagined the luxury of air travel. So maybe cut it out on the complaints about the coffee, guys.
I'm thinking, too, though, that, and we had an incident the other day where a Southwest pilot shooting an ILS approach. That's basically bad weather, can't see anything. It's like a blanket on the screen. You're going strictly by instruments. And made three passes. On the third one, they had to tell him abort again because he headed right at the tower. He had gotten off the line for the instrument control center. So if pilots are also slack in some areas and air traffic controllers are slack, then we got mechanical issues that could happen that because we're not properly training people and inspecting, we're on the verge of a disaster.
Yeah, you know, I often make the example, you know, I don't believe that DEI is really good in any format, but if you're going to do it in an office setting, you know, in an HR department, I don't like it. It's probably illegal, but you're not going to kill anyone. Here, you're literally inserting risk unnecessarily into life or death situations. And it's not as though the situation that you're outlining is rare. Obviously, there's weather issues every day. There are complications every day. Pilots need to be skilled and alert and able to handle whatever challenges face them. And so inevitably, you're going to have pilots and air traffic controllers who face these sorts of difficult conditions and have to be willing to make their judgment, willing to make tough calls, and also say, I'm relying on my experience and my knowledge and my skill to get us through this. And I fear that that's just not what's happening these days.
Well, again, the suit you have against the federal government for discriminatory hiring practices, you're really boiling it down to a crisis that leads to safety issues, correct?
That's right. So Mountain Safe Legal Foundation represents over 900 people in a class action who took the pre-employment test to become an air traffic controller. They passed with flying colors. Our clients got 100% on that test. And then the FAA decided that there were too many white people in the pre-employment pool. And so they flushed that test. They adopted a new one to racially gerrymander the hiring pool. And then our clients who had passed failed that new test, over 900 of them. And so what they did, obviously, is they took some very, very qualified people who would have made terrific air traffic controllers and said, sorry, you're out of luck. No matter how much time, no matter how much schooling you did, we don't want you. Even if you passed the previous tests at 100% level, they don't care about merit. They care about your race, your skin color, and your sex.
You do know what you call a doctor graduates at the end of a class, don't you?
Doctor,
yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. So if they get the ticket, then they're a radar controller, whether or not they're qualified or not. Now, one other caution note in the last 30 seconds. We're not trying to say air travel. We're not trying to panic the public, but you need to be aware, and hopefully you can bring some of this to light for us.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I'm taking a flight in 2 weeks. But thank you so much for the opportunity to talk through the
dangers. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
If you're filling out an insurance policy, you can put my name on it. Would you mind? Right. All right. William Trackman, I do appreciate it. Coming up, if you think Morning Joe knows everything, he's going to prove to you, yes, he does.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Don't try and ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At newstalkstl.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are surrounded in our life by people who support Donald Trump. We don't understand why they support Donald Trump, but you get beneath that, right?
Yeah.
You get past the and I call it surface tribalism, the tribalism, and you start asking them basic questions and you start talking about America and you start complaining about whether it's crime or the, you know, whatever it is. We can say Roe v. Wade. I mean, we can talk about all these things. And you get beneath the surface. And what is so surprising is how much people agree. Like, I've always said it, whether I'm talking to a mom or a dad on the Upper West Side or Demopolis, Alabama, I'm not being a hokey. They want the same thing for the kids. Chances are good. They feel the same about a ton of issues. Now, you step into the whole political sphere, and then when it's Trump versus Hillary, then Trump versus, then suddenly things separate. But Americans are a lot. That's why when I hear Civil War, I go, please, please, they'll take it out on the football field on Friday night.
Joe Scarborough of MSNBC, and a lot of what he said I agree with. I do think Americans are more united in many ways than we let on. And sometimes it takes a tragedy to bring us together, unfortunately, a 9/11. It's the same way in families. Maybe you have relatives, maybe very close relatives that you're estranged from because you have such a difference of opinion about something. Maybe something that happened years and years and years ago. Maybe it didn't even involve you, but involved another one of the relatives, and you took their side. And you never sat down, discussed it, and worked it out. You're just going to go along with it. It's like the two old ladies that get together, and one of them says, well, I didn't know if you'd talk to him again. Sure, I'll talk to you. Well, I didn't know if you had forgiven me for that event, you know, what I did to you that day. She said, oh, no. I forgave you. I distinctly remember forgiving you. I mean, so she hadn't forgotten it. The tribalism, though, and the division as he quickly moved to Trump dividing people, be it with Hillary or by Joe, you need to look into the mirror. You guys are responsible for a lot of this. Not solely. I won't put it all on your back. But state-controlled media has been parroting only one side and being used as a weapon against independents as well as conservatives or any liberal that might not really walk the line they want. Alan Dershowitz, I would say, is probably, and he's admitted, liberal in many ways. But he also is a man of the law. So when he calls something out, he's doing it based on knowledge of the law, not even his political preference. And then, of course, we also have what's shoved down our throat, the DEI thing we were just discussing with the previous guest. DEI infecting everything. And as he said, I don't like it, don't think it's right, but if it's happening in a classroom or a college admission, no one should get killed over it. But when you start messing with our air passenger service, cargo service, anything of high volatile possibility of calamity, and including our military, then you are really putting our nation at risk and those who are participating or involved in it. But again, the media. I'd mentioned to you the other day that I had attended to the St. Louis chapter of the GOP. And one of the questions I got, I think it was the first question, how do we trust the media ever again? And my question I posed back in my response is, how do you trust the government? See, once that trust is broken, it is difficult to ever repair. But then when you got someone egging it on, it's like two dogs in a back alley. They're growling and they're circling each other and they're ready to tear into each other, but they're not really going to make a move. But some kid picks up a bunch of pebbles and throws it at one of the dogs, and they don't know where it came from. They thought it was the other dog, and pretty soon they're locked in battle. Because the kid, serving as a state media-controlled operation, said, here, let's fire them up. And they do it. And they do it for ratings, and they do it for what else can we do to divide the country and make us look better than thou. He was talking in that setup to an author of a book, Behind the Curtain, basically looking at America Distortion Machine. Behind the Curtain, the American Distortion Machine. His name is Jim Vandehei. Here's his response to what Joe Scarborough just said.
Increasingly have come to the conclusion that 70 to 80% of people are actually normal. They're not all worked up about the things that people get worked up about. And that the reality of it is that we really have been in this distortion machine. Like if you're on Twitter or X all day, if you're living on TikTok or you're marinating into even some of the topics that we deal with every day, what happens is the people who have the loudest voices, who often say the most provocative things, tend to dominate that conversation. And it leaves you thinking like, wait, does everyone think this? Does everyone feel this? Is everyone so worked up that they're about to, you know, maybe conduct a civil war to defend their party versus the other? And you realize, no, like most people actually have a life. Most people aren't making politics of the beer you drink or the store that you shop at. And most, one of the examples I use in there is like, I go to church. I know tons of people that are Catholics, Christians, name every different denomination. Like most people aren't like thinking that Trump is sent from God to offer salvation to the people. Like, are there fringe people who think nutty things? Yes. Have there always been fringe people who think nutty things? Absolutely. But what's different is there's just a new way to amplify that through social media, sometimes through the most partisan people on cable, and certainly through these tribal battles that we see at the base of the two parties. But that's just, I don't think, America, there's a great AP poll out last week that basically asked both parties, do you believe in freedom of speech and freedom to petition? And you know, freedom to live the way you want to live, and like almost every Democrat and every Republican, looking back at the founding principles of the Constitution, they agree with all of it. Yes, they disagree on the edges about how you're going to actually turn that into public policy.
And again, that's Jim Vandehei. I want you to hear more from him in a moment. But since I'm glad he mentioned the cable networks. He didn't specify Joe Scarborough because he's sitting on his program. And, of course, again, he mentioned as one antagonist being Trump, not Hillary, not Chuck Schumer, not Adam Schiff. He's going to pick the easy ones that they can pin the tail on the donkey in MSNBC, and that would be Trump. Speaking of free speech, let me share this with you. Police in Scotland say they're overwhelmed with a flood of reports, 8,000 reports of the first week after they passed a new law regarding hate crimes. This is what some are calling draconian speech restrictions. The law enforcement Scotland claiming it cannot cope with the staggering number of reports flooding into police stations after the controversial hate crime and public order in Scotland went into force last Monday, just last Monday, got passed in 2021. I don't know what the delay was, but it criminalizes opaquely worded, quote, stirring up hatred towards protected groups such as the so-called LGBTQ2AIS community, among others. Well, I would imagine right away a lot of the jihadist Muslims were listed as hate speech, or were they not? Maybe they were also supposedly protected. But they report getting 8,000 complaints under that law in the first 7 days of it being implemented. You don't like the way somebody called you something, you just hate speech, and you go to the police and file a report against them. I was sitting with some guys last night. We're watching the NCAA finals, and we're talking about how the game is going and so forth, and how some are performing above standard, what you might expect, and some were trying, but they were just falling short. And another one said, you know, I thought I could play basketball until I got on the field with some guys who could really, really, on a court, guys who really knew how to play. He said, suddenly I realized I was not that good, so I went a different direction. All of us looked at him and said, yeah, I think you made the right decision. I don't know too many 5'2", 195 guys that are going to make a basketball team. Well, I didn't look in the mirror. I'm a little taller than 5'2". But if they're having trouble in Scotland dealing with hate speech reports, once again, back to the author of this book, Behind the Curtain, American Distortion Machine, Jim VandeHei.
But I think that there's a reason we're all wondering, is this real? Because it's not clear what's real, especially when people are getting information in so many different realities, right? Your kids on TikTok, you and I, maybe through the New York Times, Morning Joe, Axios, other publications. But if you're a Trumper, you might be getting it through podcasts that most people have never heard of. Or if you're, you know, a tech bro, you might be watching or listening to All In and getting your news from Elon Musk. It's just very distorting. And I think it's important to remind people that I do think the country is mostly sane.
Are you going to call out Joe Scarborough is being slanted and not so sane? No, he's not. He did throw Musk in there. Did not mention Larry Connors USA, by the way. Oh, I might be one of those, who has ever heard of it? Well, this is a good time to remind you, here at News Talk STL, just remember we are number one live local conservative talk, and LC USA does provide fair and balanced with analysis and opinion. Yeah, the media is a great player in this and a driver of the hatred among Americans right now. And I'm going to say it again. I know some people get upset immediately. You say, oh, you know, you complain about people picking on Trump. Here you are going to mention Obama again. Yes, I am. And actually, when Obama came in, I thought, well, I didn't vote for him, but he could be really great for the country. After 4 years, I thought he's not doing well. And then on the second term, I thought, now's a chance to be a statesman. He doesn't have to fight political battles. He can basically become a statesman and really unify us. Didn't do it then either. Pushed it more. In fact, the next hour, we're going to talk about how the CIA under Obama was already investigating Trump allies. That's coming up in the next hour. Many on the right think, of course, of the progressives as stupid. I have a couple examples that the left parades as its stupidity without any knowledge of real stupidity, much less shame. We're going to start with the vice president.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Had it or hit it. People taking their shoes off on airplanes.
Oh, God. Had it completely.
It's terrible. Awful. And then if they take their shoes off and then cross their legs so that their foot is just dangling right in front of
the
you.
Aisles. Just,
and especially if they're sockless.
The sockless people in an airport. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you might have the FAA look into that.
Yes. Too. Yeah, we'll look into that too.
These are the issues that can bring out some
niche
voters.
We need a Department of Grievances.
Yes. We can run it.
We have a lot of federal agencies, yeah. But not that one.
We'll be the secretaries. Yeah.
Exactly.
Kamala Harris apparently has a foot fetish, or not, but she wants to make a big point out of people on the plane not having socks or kicking your shoes off when you're on a flight. Well, in some cases, that could be an odorous issue as well. But especially if they don't have socks. So maybe she's thinking about, we need a new federal agency to investigate people getting on board a plane without socks. You might begin by looking at a lot of the illegals that are coming across the border that are being given plane tickets, often wearing nothing but sandals and no socks. Whoops, maybe she went too far with that idea. And another example of stupidity. Sonny Hostin, another View, was on there discussing in advance of the solar eclipse how it all ties to our climate's changing.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
Ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in
cicada.
This is what I read.
Two different kinds of cicadas
are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No. Every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe... better. But
I will say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or
something returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
No.
It can't.
It happens.
And the
eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
Whoopi Goldberg lecturing Sonny Hostin. Albert Einstein wrote, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. I'm not sure about the universe. Albert Einstein. Next hour, Joe Biden's going to try to get those who hate America to vote for him. Why? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.